Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we want to continue our discussion of what it means that we have eternal life. As Christians, we have received into our inner being something that was not in us before we bowed our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That something is eternal life, the very life that's in God. And that life has transformed us and is transforming us. That life is in us to be a power source for us as we live and walk in this life. See, we say this a lot in this broadcast. We must learn to see reality as it truly is, or the way things really are, according to God, and then live and walk in the light of it in order to demonstrate the will of God in our lives. Well, part of that involves learning to see God as He truly is and ourselves as we truly are in relation to Him. We could do whole lessons on God as He truly is according to His Word. We have, and I'm sure we will in the future. Right now, we're working on seeing ourselves as we truly are according to God. Now, let me review. We always review. I review a lot, but that's because I give a lot of information. Repetition is the seed of learning. The more I say it, the more chance there is that you're really going to hear what I'm saying. Excuse me. Christianity is not a belief system or a code of ethics, even though there are specific beliefs and behaviors associated with being a Christian. Christianity is supernatural. It's above the natural. To be a Christian means undergoing a supernatural transformation whereby your nature is changed from child of the devil to son or daughter of God, from unholy and unrighteous to holy and righteous, from sinner to saint. Christianity is supernatural. It is a living, organic, vital union between God and man through Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, a sin nature was produced in human beings. God did not make men with sin natures. That was produced in the race through Adam's sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says that through Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man made many into sinners. That word made there has the idea of constituted. One translation says it that way. The many were constituted sinners. Another translation says the whole race was rendered sinful. We were made sinners. We're born into a fallen race with a nature that's contrary to God. Now, this fundamental change in human makeup showed up immediately in the first generation of human beings born through natural processes. If we were to go back and read in Genesis chapter 4, we would find that Cain, who was Adam and Eve's firstborn son, killed Abel, their secondborn son, and then lied about it. Remember when God said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Here we've got beings made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says God made men in His image and in His likeness. Here we have beings made in the image of God who are now murdering and lying about it. Did you know murder and lying are the two primary traits of the devil? That's what Jesus said in John 8:44 in a conversation with the Pharisees. He said, "You're of your father, the devil." He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning. This change in human nature showed up immediately, and men made in the image of God began to exhibit traits of the devil. Through our first birth, we are born into a fallen race, and we inherit a sin nature passed down from great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam. through our first birth, we are by nature, by our very makeup and constitution, sinners, deserving of the wrath of God. Let me read you. I'm over in Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is reminding the Ephesians of what they were before they were born again. Verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." We were dead, lacking the life of God in our spirit. Verse 2, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Disobedience there is unbelief. In other words, when we were children of unbelief, we had a spirit working in us that caused us to walk according to the course of this world. Now listen to this, verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past, in the fulfilling of the lusts of our flesh and the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Lots we could say about this passage, but look at the last line. It says, "Before we were born again, we were by nature children of wrath." By nature. That word nature in the Greek means by our disposition or our lineal descent. You were born a sinner with a nature that made you an object of God's wrath. I mean, think about it for a minute. If you've had children and you've raised little children, have you ever had to teach a 3-year-old to be less generous with his toys and to not be so kind to his playmates? No, it's exactly the opposite. I never had children, but I have good friends who've raised children, who raised them in a godly home, and they lived the life in front of them, you know, from the womb, literally. And these sweet little kids start lying. As soon as they can talk almost, they know how to lie. Where does that come from? It comes from the nature that they inherited from great-granddaddy Adam. Now, when a person believes on Jesus, though, God gives him eternal life, and he is literally born of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, we've been emphasizing this point. Eternal life is not live forever life. Receiving everlasting or eternal life does not mean live in heaven with God forever, although we are going to live in heaven with God forever. No. See, we already had eternal life through our first birth. We were going to live forever. The only question was, were we going to live in heaven or in hell, depending on what we do with Jesus? Once conceived from the moment of conception in a mother's womb, you got an eternal being. Eternal life, when the Bible speaks about the eternal life given to us by God when we're born again, it's referring to the life of God or the uncreated life in God himself. When a person believes on Jesus, the Holy Spirit unites him to Jesus, to the uncreated eternal life in Jesus. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That phrase, "whosoever believeth in him," in the Greek, is literally "believeth into him." You didn't know what happened, but when you believed on Jesus, the Holy Spirit united your spirit to the life in Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, "And this testimony is that God has given us eternal life, and this life is given through union with his Son." The Bible uses 3-word pictures to describe our relationship to Jesus, and all of them depict union and shared life. He's called the vine, we're the branches. He's called the head, we are the body. He's called the husband, we're called the wife. All three of these word pictures depict union. A branch is in union with the vine, and shared life. The branch lives by the life of the vine. Through the new birth, we are united to the uncreated eternal life in God. Now, this union occurs in our spirit. Human nature consists of an inward man made up of spirit and soul. The soul is our mental and emotional faculties. Human nature is made up of an inward man, our spirit and our soul, and an outward man, our physical body. Our spirit is capable of union with God. Our spirit was actually created for union with God. The entrance of eternal life through this union with Christ produces a radical transformation in us, in our innermost being, in our spirit. We were dead. We just read that, Ephesians 2:1. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead or cut off from or lacking the uncreated eternal life of God in our spirit. We are now alive, possessing the life of God in our spirit. We were by nature an object of God's wrath. We just read it in Ephesians 2:3. We now partake of his nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 or verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Nature there is the very same word used in Ephesians 2:3 that says we were by nature objects of God's wrath. By lineal descent, the line through which we came out of Adam, we were born with a nature contrary to God, a sin nature. Well, now we're born of God and we partake of his nature. The Amplified says we become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. We don't become God. We're still created beings, but we now have his life in us. God's nature is his life. John chapter 1 verse 4 says, in him is life. John 5:26 says, the Father has life in himself. You, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are now a partaker of the life of the vine. And whatever is in that life is in you, in your spirit, because that life is in you. Your soul and your body were not directly affected by this new birth, this transformation. Your mind must be renewed, your emotions purified, and your body brought under control. However, there's been a fundamental change in your inward being, and you and I can now learn to live by what's on the inside of us and cooperate with God as that inward change shows up on the outside. Got a lot to talk about.
You've been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.